This one's called answering machine message. Whatever nouns, whatever words, whatever verbs, the machine will keep them. They will repeat, should you leave them behind for me. A moment in time preserved. The phrases you say, they will be saved. Wait for the cold tone. Speak your piece and leave. This one is not a poem. I'm not a poet. It's called Augury. Paint chips have collected for decades at the base of the once red steel supports underneath the concrete underpass where the train stops. A pigeon, the color of concrete, arrives. It has frayed feathers, as though the bird is dissolving. It seems oblivious to any human presence there. Eddies of dust sketch themselves in the breeze. The bird walks in a circle, pecks at nothing, and walks in an opposite circle. Its eyes are like pebbles. This bird has only one foot. Its amputated limb must have been like a rubber stamp, step stamping red impressions on the concrete, but the leg had long ago blackened like asphalt, and the red spots below it now are only flecks of red paint or rust or blood. The train arrives. Passengers embark. That one-legged pigeon flies low and away to peck at some other place. Downtown, the gulls dive wildly. They aim, perhaps, for some bit of leftover fried breading or leftover lake trout sandwich. But the gulls dive too low. They smash against rooftops the size of buses or windshields. Wipers scrape against blood in small fractures. Traffic flows impeded by dozens of slight delays, little bumps in the road. At noon, an announcement is broadcast to explain that the city's management services will add a collection of dead animals to the weekly garbage regimen as a public service. The national economy adjusts to a sudden rise in the demand for a new automobile glass. A prominent national league cancels the evening's athletic activities due to a littered field. The evening news interviews local residents. One of them carries a ruined umbrella. None of their conjecture about the birds is conclusive, however. Local authorities are unavailable for comment. Helicopters take flight to survey the altered scene below. The sidewalks are littered with the bags to be collected. The news is that the pigeons and gulls were not alone in this. Swallows, owls, geese, chickadees, sparrows, canaries, orioles, and even the great American bald eagle, none of them sing, fly, swim, scream. Some of them are consuming each other's. Others, losing their eyes, starve. Every bird is gone. At night, huge fires burn the bodies of birds to keep vermin from pecking at them, to keep diseases out of the water. At dawn, the sky is void of all the helicopters in a single frayed cloud. I can't get this poem published no matter how hard I try. It's called, This Poem Is Not About Wine. How did I choose the wine? There are so many flavors to keep in mind, and taste is so difficult to define. You categorize the wine into red and white, but there are so many subtler kinds. I picked the one I'd prefer to imbibe. Never mind which, never mind why, that's not what I'm here to describe. Couldn't get the cork out of the stem. I couldn't get the cork out on the first try. I broke most of the cork off, and then I couldn't get the cork out on the second try. It's so simple to use that device. And to use it right, you twist until tight, and then unwind. But the bottle would not yield the wine, because I buried the cork deep inside. I didn't dare break the bottle at the neck. That wouldn't be dignified. Okay, fine. I wanted the wine. I wanted the wine. I couldn't keep my desire in check. I wanted that bottle to wreck, to see it break, and to get quickly at the stuff inside. I'll try one more time, keeping in mind, twist until tight, and then unwind, twist until tight, and then unwind. This is a very similar poem. It's also about food, except that it isn't about food. I guess it's worth noting that the publication I edit for is called Infinity's Kitchen. I just find it useful to think of food and recipe as a sort of metaphor for art and life. I don't know, I dig it. This poem's called An Acquired Taste. No fluorescent linoleum walkways and roads. No marketplace to influence decision. Wandering, hungry, seeking shade, I plucked a pawpaw from the pawpaw tree. I chose which one seemed ready-made, but I was wrong. No light to spoil the fruit's repose, no spots to mar its perfect skin. The smoothest one, green, brightest, taut. I plucked a pawpaw from the pawpaw tree. The one I wanted was one only I would want. It was a new thing. No recipe or menu to describe the food. No tools to use to prepare for it. Sustenance in the wilderness. I plucked a pawpaw from the pawpaw tree. I savored the first bite's bitterness. I never knew better. No one told me which was good. No one there to share my dinner with. Tangible, edible, so I ate. I plucked a pawpaw from the pawpaw tree, but it left me in an undesirable state. I was ill. No ripe fruit had ever left that tree. No ripe fruit would till I came back. Later, wiser, considerate, I plucked a pawpaw from the pawpaw tree. The choice I made had been deliberate, and I was right. I had this one published in the University of Baltimore's Welter magazine a few years ago. They've been good to me. Since publishing it, though, I've changed the title. When it was published, it was called The House in the Yard, and my editor hates all my titles, so I came up with a new one. It's called Eviction Day now. But anyway, the poem is the same. We have finger bone trees, like tangled up hands. Dada built a house for us outside in the yard. He's so hurly-burly, up with the headboard, down with the clock, make a desk drawer footstool by the chair on the sidewalk. And the whole place is playhouse, without any walls, and the winds blow, so paper snow falls, and I'm told go, outside, play. Dada built for us a stage outside in the front yard, built out of mama's things, and on that stage they played a show. Go on, get out, go. Get out in the yard and don't come home. Out in the yard of a house, out in the maze of stacks. It's time to go in now and never look back. This one's about a childhood game called Musical Chairs. I always hated that game when I was a kid. You know the rules? The song describes what steps to take, what choice to make. And the game begins. A chair is all the prize they've got. The song chimes in and I realize I'd rather not. The odds are low that I would win. Would I win? Could I win? Should I walk in circles again? Would I win? Could I win? Should I walk in circles again? Would I win? Could I win? Should I walk in circles again? This one's called Make Your Own Fun. Kick a ball against the wall. Throw it on the floor. Knock it all over the place and watch as it slaps you in the face. Play the music at maximum volume, even the bad songs. Open the window and bark at the people outside as they hurry and scurry and pick up the pieces. Get juice stains on your upper lip. Pretend to be the president. Make your shadow more attractive. Try not to resemble your own reflection. Cry, baffle yourself, be profound and roll in the mess. The spreading of wings, the barking at people, the angel on the steeple, and why bother barking at people if they're cats? Take naps in the garden, flip tongues like light from a flame, until half past the sun goes down. Flimsy, kiss bricks and scream with it. Forget about the pain, show strange reflections. This is the last one before I play with this pile of phones over here. It's a short one. It's from my spoken word album, which, by the way, I have for sale if you'd like a copy. Prices are negotiable. I do like beer. It's called Clouds. Cloud patterns shift and kick as one in uncomfortable slumber, as turmoil turning bliss, and in conflicts. Too light to lift, too hard to lumber. They sleep, impatient, while they dream. Hey buddy, what you doing? Are you watching television? I am watching television. Oh my God, how did you know? He is excited, and so am I. I'll bet you'd really like to know what's on TV right now, wouldn't you? And with that, I sell the man a subscription to TV Guide magazine. I'll call anyone on the list of people. Binge spenders, people in debt, lonely souls who'll buy shit just to thank you for talking to them. Idiots. It's my job to keep them on the phone, to sucker them into a contest, or to sell them something. Good evening. May I speak with Benjamin, please? No, you may certainly not speak with Benjamin. He's dead. Hello, is Julie there? Julie is there, and she says, "If you call this number one more time, I'll cut your fucking balls off." A threat to me is something like stamping out a cockroach. Others, like me, other cockroaches, they will return to the scene. To the kitchen she's trying to cook in. She is listed as very interested and please call later, and as preferring dinner time is a good time to call. Each time someone hangs up, I edit the script a little. It keeps me awake. Here's a script of a typical day. Hello, good evening. How are you? Fine, thanks. Yes, you've been selected. Chosen. You've been selected and entered. You are our finalist in our all-cash $50,000 drawing. Sweepstakes drawing. $50,000? What's the catch? I'm so sorry, I don't speak the English so good. What's the catch? I'm listening. Go on. What's the catch? Well, let me tell you about the fabulous, the wonderful, the cool prizes. Think of what you could be doing. Think of all that money. What would you like to do if you had $50,000? I like to ask the people I call. It keeps me awake. The first thing I do is pay off my credit cards. I'm in debt, so I fix that. I've got student loans, you know. What's the catch? I would buy a house. I would buy a car. I would go on vacation. I would buy a new wardrobe. What's the catch? I would move out of my mother's house. I would move out of my father's house. I would move out of my husband's house. I would move out of this basement. I would never win the money anyway. What's the catch? I would move out of this country. I would move out of the city. I would move into the city. I would spend it all. I would save it all. I would never win anyway. What's the catch? I would make goddamn sure that the government never got a penny of any of it. I would give it all to Jesus. I would never win anyway. What's the catch? The money sure would help. My boy, he won't help me. He cussed me and he left me. I told him I brought him into this world, I said, but he won't help me. But you're sure gonna have to speak up a little, because my ears aren't so good no more. I'm sorry, I've lost my place. I'm afraid I've forgotten why I called. Did I call you? Well, ma'am, I'm with the Board of Utilities. I called to check if your telephone was working properly. Oh, well, you're a nice boy, thank you. Yes, it seems to be working real good, or else I wouldn't be talking much, no, would I? Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your time. And with that, I quit my job.